Christian Parenting. Aloha, friends. Welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom and Raising Amazing. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Aloha, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so happy to get to hang out with you every week. Thank you for continuing to show up. And thank you, too, for spreading the word about this podcast to your friends and family. That is how we reach more people around the world. Now, today I have something a little bit different, and I am really thankful that I get to share this special episode with all of you. Last week, if you were able to tune in, I shared a coffee date post, which was so much fun, and I hope you enjoyed it. And I want to thank all of you who left such great feedback over in the show notes. So I'll link to that one more time this week in case you didn't catch it in today's show notes. I'll leave a link. And that way, if you want to give some feedback on all the topics I covered last week, that would be awesome. But thank you for those of you who already have. And one of the topics I mentioned was Maui and the Maui fires recently and ways that you might be able to help or support the victims of the fire. Well, since recording that episode, I decided to reach out to a good friend who lives on Maui and whose family lost their home in the fire and ask if she would just share her personal story, kind of what that fire looked like for their family. And so my friend Jess said yes, and today I get to share just a very real, candid conversation that Jess and I had, just walking through what that looked like. Now, Jess and her husband are the Maui directors of Young Life, and many of you are probably familiar with the Young Life ministry. I'll link to that as well in show notes, so if you're not familiar, but it's an awesome ministry. They've been working with junior high and high schoolers on Maui for a long time, and they are very integrated into that community. And so I just think she shares a lot of really interesting things in this conversation. We do go a little bit long, but I'm hoping that you can just listen in and kind of feel like you're sitting in story hour, having a conversation with us. You're going to love Jess. She's an amazing person, and it just continues to have joy and laughter even throughout this trauma. One thing Jess did say before we even recorded, she hesitated because though they lost their home in the fire, Jess and her whole family made it out safely. And in fact, they didn't even have to, you know, run from the flames or jump into the ocean. Their story is a good one as far as most of the stories go. And I think that she was struggling a little bit because she knows how many people did lose loved ones, family members, were really in some traumatic, scary scenarios. And so there's that common thing, a little bit of post-traumatic survivor guilt. And she just felt like it was hard for her to share her story that went so good relative to how so many other stories went. But I assured her that we would be very interested in just hearing her story anyways. I mean, absolutely traumatic that she's lost her home, though you'll hear her perspective on that is amazing. But I just find walking through the whole thing with her and kind of hearing about the community and her perspective on things is really interesting. So I hope this is interesting to you. And if you know people who love Maui, who have a heart for the people on Maui, I hope you will share this episode. And at the end, she does share some ways that you can help and support. And we will link to all those places in the show notes. So my friends, thank you for being here. And I hope that you enjoy this somewhat different episode today and feel like you found a new friend in Jess. And please do continue to pray for the people of Maui. And I will have a few final words to say at the end. But without further ado, here's Jess Clayton and I talking about her experience with the Lahaina fire. Hey, Jess, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Monica.
Isn't that just crazy? We were just starting to chat before we hit record about you. You have memories that I had forgotten about talking about like, what, the blog way back? Tell me what you remember. I think this is kind of a fun memory. We go way back.
We do go way back. We go back to almost probably the beginning. I think you had, it was pretty new. And you were talking about, there was such a learning curve for you in just even the technical side of it and trying to figure all of that out. Still is, yeah. I'm sure. But all the things that went with that and us sitting, sitting under the trees at Lahaina Harbor, watching a surf contest and just kind of talking about all the things. And then for me, just kind of watching from another island, my friend on North Shore Oahu and me thinking, I know her. And then being able to stay with you during contests that my daughter had on North Shore Oahu and just the times that we would get sitting at the kitchen counter and talking about all the ideas that you had and when they were still ideas. And now here they are full fruition and how the Lord has totally knit together relationships of friends that I've had for years and years that now are good friends of yours. And that is so many that it just makes me chuckle all the time.
Like my favorite thing, when I just see God's hand, like as we are speaking, everyone listening can know our two sons are in California, like hanging out at this moment. Her son, Kai, my son, Josiah. Kai's been a part of Josiah's Bible study with some of the younger college age boys. And not only that, but everywhere I go, I feel like people are like, you know the Claytons? We know the Claytons. It's just like, stop already. You are so connected. So with that, why don't you give an official introduction to you, your family, where you live, or at least lived. And yeah, I don't even know exactly where you live at the moment, but tell us a little about yourselves.
All right. My name is Jess Clayton, and my husband, Andy, is... his role is the area director for Young Life for Maui County. And we've actually been on staff for almost 30 years, which is mind boggling because it makes us feel old. And we're kind of
feeling
like... I was
going to say, 'cause you're only 30 years old, right?
Yeah, only 30. Totally only 30. And we kind of like, oh man, we've been doing this for a while. We're like the old farts around right now, which just makes me chuckle. But we did Young Life in Ventura for 10 years. And then the Lord, very unexpectedly and strategically, called us to Maui, which is kind of a fun one when you're like, oh yeah, the Lord's called us to Maui. Right. And they're like, he did. But that's a whole separate story on how clearly that call was.
Wait, let me pause you right there because I'm sure a number of people would take credit for that move. But I just saw Scott Lisea on Westmont campus.
It is the Westmont his chaplain. Fault. Yep.
He claimed, he's like, straight I up his sent fault. Them there.
Straight up blame him. Yes, absolutely true.
Okay, there we go. Yep. He wasn't lying. Okay,
he wasn't lying. No. He threw our name into the pot and we kind of fit all of the criteria and went and visited. And we got on the plane after a visit and Andy was like, well, I guess we're not doing that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? The Lord made that so clear that I feel like it would be sin for us not to accept that role.
Wow.
And that, even that statement for me went back so much farther to a friend who had said years ago that the Lord had made it so clear to her that she needed to homeschool her children. And it was so heavy on her heart in that regard that she felt it would be sin if she did not follow through on that. Right. And so for me to even look back and see how the Lord so clearly lined things up with conversations scattered and all the things, it just was an unexpected move that obviously brought with it some challenges when you're leaving family on the mainland and coming to the Hawaiian Islands. But I still would not trade this season of life that we have had on Maui. I would not trade that for anything. Raising my kids here and just being a student of the cultures and just the islands and all that comes with that has been nothing shy of a gift. I just still am amazed. Like, oh yeah. It never occurred to us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never occurred to us to not dive in fully. Like we're going and we're going full bore and it would have to be so blatant, the Lord calling us back. Mm-hmm. And he never has. We're still here. Right. And so to watch my children grow up in this, Lara was 5 and went into kindergarten at King Kamehameha III Elementary in Lahaina. And my son Kai was 1 when we moved over, and I was 6 months pregnant with my daughter Kiana. So she is the only one that can claim born and raised in Hawaii. Right.
Yes.
But they are all redhead, redhead kids, and I am so thankful that they can call Maui home. Yeah. So that we are very blessed in that regard.
I love that. And you have lived right in Lahaina the whole time. Is that right? From the beginning?
No, we were up in, always on the west side of Maui.
Yeah.
But we were a couple years up on the upper west side between Napili and Kahana. Mm.
Yeah.
And then Andy was a football coach and at Lahaina Luna High School. And that, you can't just run home. That's like it's just a greater distance. It's like 20 minutes to get home from there. Sure. And he was always up at the high school and whatnot. So when an opportunity came for us to be in town, we took it. And so blessed with that particular location and how the Lord used that house and that home. Yeah. Much
Tell
hotter
us about that
in Lahaina.
Much hotter. Yes.
Much hotter in
Lahaina. I remember that. And you have had kind of an open door policy, right? Tell us about that and the kids and the ministry you're doing.
Our house was never our house. It was always and will always be God's house. And however God wants to use our house and our home, we do our best to allow for that. And so we've had so many kids stay with us at different times. We changed our carport into what was called the Clayton Cabana. And so people would come and stay with us. Hammocks, couches, all the things. The carport was our living room because I didn't want a TV in the house. So there's a big TV for football games. Big TV for football games in the carport.
Love it.
And we were on a corner and I'm notoriously loud, as my family reminds me daily. And and my neighbor across the street, who was also our landlord, a couple times would be like, "You do know I can hear you clearly across the street, correct?"
Right.
And I'm like, "Well, you know, sorry." But with that comes that we were on a corner, and so we saw the world go by. Like, everybody drives by that corner, and well-known and common practice of hollering as they would drive by. And wherever I was in the house, I would holler, and they would hear me as they would go by. So just very much a house that people always knew where we were. Yeah. Full of always, always open. Yep.
Right. So, well, I love that picture and I've always loved that about you guys. And speaking of your house, Lahaina, all of that, can you paint a picture for us and just kind of share with us what was going on with your family members, where you were, what was happening when the fire came to Lahaina recently and caused so much devastation?
It's hurricane season, and the key detail that sometimes gets lost in the story a bit is that we had some of our neighbors kind of within a few miles of us were clocking winds at 110 miles an hour. So we were already kind of alert that day. We woke up and there was no power. And so Andy got out the camping stove and set it up on the picnic table outside because the way that our house set and the wind came from a certain direction. So we were kind of where our picnic table sat was kind of tucked in. So coffee is a non-negotiable in the Clayton house in the mornings.
I remember that.
Oh yeah. So, he made coffee and on the camp stove and we had a cup and we were just sitting there. And then the power came on for about 30 minutes and we very quickly made a real pot of coffee, which I'm sure saved us over the course of the day. I had that one pot of coffee. And then at another point, our landlord and our friend across the street was all of a sudden running up the side of our house because there was smoke and Andy was running and we went up the side and our neighbors directly behind us, they were also making coffee on their grill and they had turned their grill on. And that just the simplicity of the smoke coming off the grill kind of had everybody on alert. And so it was super minor, but and we, you know, so it was just little things like that. Everybody was already on edge because the winds were nuking.
Yeah.
Oh, it
even
was
on Oahu,
crazy.
Our winds were crazy. So who all was home at that point? Was Kai was in California? Is that right?
Kai was in California. So we had, it was Andy and I, Lara was home. Kiana was also home and had friends visiting. We had friends from that she had done Young Life work crew with the summer before were there visiting us. And so they were with us as well. And so it was all of us. And so we were there, you know, kind of through the day and just kind of waiting, just kind of holding out with the wind. The wind, couple trees, like our neighbor's papaya tree fell into our yard. And we were kind of like, sweet papayas, pick them up and let's save those for later. And then, a palm tree in our front yard in like in our, one of our little palm trees fell over into our front yard, which that was strange. That was, I was like, okay, that doesn't happen. And then at one point, so it was, must've been around three. It was the very first gnarly black smoke that was seen that you could very clearly see when you walked out into our front yard and looked toward Lahaina Town, because our house was in Wahikuli, which is like kind of through Lahaina on the edge of Lahaina. And so we're looking south towards Lahaina Town and there's this massive black smoke. And based on our experience in 2018 with that particular fire, the smoke was so bad that Andy's allergic to smoke. And so kind of was a no-brainer of, hey, that's gnarly. Let's load up and let's head north because our Hanai friends, our Hanai family that we always go to are up in Napili. And that's just kind of our zone that we go to when we need to evacuate because there's space and it's comfortable and that's where we go. So Andy came in and kind of said, hey, let's pack up and let's get moving.
And really just because of the smoke at that point, it wasn't like
just because of the smoke. Because the experience, the experience from 2018 was the smoke was bad and we want to get away from the smoke. Never did we think anything other than that. So when I packed, I threw things into a bag with the mentality of, hey, I'm going to be gone overnight. And so I threw, it's kind of laughable, actually, what I threw into my bag.
Tell us.
Well, I know that I threw three Padeos in, which was like, a Padeo is like, think of like a, for our mainland friends, just like a piece of fabric that would, sarong. And why would I need three to go overnight? I think I threw a swimsuit, maybe like my pajamas and a couple t-shirts. Yeah. I did. No, did I? No, I didn't. I did not grab my toothbrush. Okay. I did not. I don't think I... No, wait. I did. Kiana did not. I grabbed my toothbrush. Kiana did not. But the thing with the girls was, what they heard me say was, hey, grab your stuff for an overnight. So not only did Kiana grab for an overnight, but so did her two friends, Beth and Becca, who all of their stuff that they had come to visit us with, they just grabbed their backpacks.
Sure.
Thank God they grabbed their IDs. So they grabbed, and then Lara, Lara was supposed to be getting on a plane that day to go to a competition in Southern California. So she's actually the only one that was packed well, because her longboard was packed. She had her suitcase packed to be gone for a week. So she packed appropriately in terms of being gone for a week. So we threw, so there's three drivers, Andy, me, and Lara. And so we each drove a vehicle away. Andy stayed behind and he grabbed him. I don't know why, in his head, he was grabbing with a different mentality. He was grabbing, like, crucial. He grabbed the safe that we had with all of our documents in it. And he grabbed another board bag that had, like, Kai's brand new twin fin that he had just gotten in it. Okay. And a couple things. So he grabbed a couple more things, but not... But that was about it. So
interesting.
So we didn't grab any, the only memento, and honestly, I don't know why I grabbed it. There was a framed print of Andy and I, like a framed photograph from the year that we got married, that was on my dresser. And I just tossed that in. I don't know why. I just tossed it in. And so we left, and in our neighborhood, we drive out our neighborhood and we make a right-hand turn to go north. And so we headed out, the girls and I. So Lara was driving one truck and I was driving another one, and Andy stayed behind. And we went out and we made it maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred yards to the very first stoplight that we come to by the post office in Lahaina. And there was already an officer there blocking south, blocking the traffic that would have been going into Lahaina. And he was forcing people to turn around and go back north. So there's two lanes of traffic coming down, and he's turning them back around to go north. And there's just starting to be more traffic coming from Lahaina to go north. And so when we finally make it through that intersection, there are five power poles that have fallen over across the freeway. So there are five lanes right there, two lanes going either direction and a center lane. And all of that traffic was condensing down to basically a lane and a half, because those power poles, when they fell down, they covered a little bit more than three lanes. And there was five of them, and there were cars underneath them. And all of a sudden, Kiana, who was with me, said, "We need to call Dad. Like, Dad needs to get out of there, because this is a mess."
Yes.
And so we were on the phone trying to get in touch with Andy to let him know, "You need to leave sooner than later. This is a mess." And it did not at that point take us long to get past those power poles. And then just, it was a straight shot north to our friends in Napili. And I don't know if, and it's still like the beginnings of all that black smoke. And so we went, I think Andy probably arrived to the house within half an hour ish behind us. And so then we were just all at our friend's house in Napili. So that's Tuesday afternoon. And then we stayed at our friends.
Were you like watching the news, like knowing something's coming, or just like, we got out of the smoke?
No, the power's out. There's no, there's like, the power's out. There's no, there's almost no communication. Sure. It's super choppy, super choppy communication. And so our friends, he is the house where we stay, our friends, he's the principal of Maui Prep. And we've known them for almost as long as we've been on the island as well. So this is now a 17-year, well, if you ask his wife, my dearest friend Stephanie, she has a different beginning to that story, but these are our hanai. It just was a bit rocky relationship at the beginning, but these are our family. It's a funny story, actually, but for later. We went to bed. Stephanie was gone. She and her youngest were in Colorado at the time. So it was just Ryan and his daughter, Avery, who is Kiana's best friend. So we now have me, Andy, Lara, Kiana, Kiana's two friends, and then our friend's house, and then his son, Ryan's son, and his friend. So we're all there, and we're all friends. And we end up going to bed that night, and it's all dark because all the power's still off. And I distinctly remember the feeling of just unsettledness and kind of like, I just need to go lay down. And so I went and laid down, but I remember waking up because Avery was knocking on Ryan's door and saying, hey, there's somebody at the door. They need you to go open up the school because they're evacuating the Civic Center and they're moving everybody up here. And so that must have been like 11 o'clock Tuesday night that Ryan got up, went and opened up the gym at Maui Prep, and we did not see him again then until late Wednesday. Because it just became, that became the hub up there. And Wednesday was just odd. We ended up, we just hung out kind of in that little spot all day, and their home sits across the street from a cove that you could go down in the water and play in the cove. But what we discovered was also there was service like right out on the edge of the road. And so if we went and stood out on that edge of the road, we could text, we could send and receive text. We could make a phone call, but the phone call would then, it might be answered, but it would not connect. And so just the communication was just terrible. So it was that
Wednesday news. Were you able to?
No, it was everything that, so even when we started, we would get patchy bits of video. And I honestly don't remember where I started seeing video. I don't know if I was getting on I don't remember what I was getting on because service was just patchy in general, but there started to be, somehow we were starting to see like aerial footage of, or photos. It might've been photos. I think what it was honestly was my sister in Arizona was texting me. People, other people with service were texting me photos and I would scroll in and try to see if, you know, what the status of our house was, but it was really unclear. And it wasn't until somebody later on in that evening was able to show us video because they had taken like dirt bikes and gone down in to kind of see. And somebody showed us video of our house and we confirmed that our house was gone. But it was more, even on Wednesday, it was more of trying to connect with people because I am part of a women's group that has met solidly for the last, I don't know, seven-ish years. And we have a very active group text that we use for prayer more than anything else. And one of our dear friends on Tuesday had said, hey, you have to pray this fire. Like my husband just was literally fell off the wall and I think he broke his ankle and we just barely made it out. Pray for us. And she lost her house in the 2018 fire. Oh, wow. And so all of us are like, no, what is going on? And then immediately followed by kind of another phone call from another friend that they, their house was, the fire was in their neighborhood and they were trying to get out. And so you're trying to piece together the stories and then trying to see where, like, so did they make it out? Where did they land? And just going to, I remember Wednesday going, earlier Wednesday going to one of the houses that for us kind of became a hub where people were kind of going to and congregating. And they, both of those women were there. And so we were able to get eyeballs and just go, hey, are you okay? And just starting to listen to each other's stories after that initial just hug and hold on and you're safe. And I'm so thankful that you're in my arms. And then trying to sit and process what just happened and not, it not making any sense because those two women were on complete opposite sides of Lahaina. And so just craziness. And then we heard, because on Wednesday, you're like, part of the other thing that's going on for us is that we've got these two girls with us that are visiting that have a flight out on Thursday. And when we finally did get in touch with their parents and confirm that, hey, we've got them, we're safe, this is where we are, and getting the feedback, we're so glad you're safe. Whatever you need to do, don't, if it's not safe to get to the airport, don't worry about it. Just whatever you need to do. And so that debate for us of, how do we make this decision of trying to get them to the airport if we can, because we want, this is trauma. We don't want to hang on to them for any longer. You don't need to be in the midst of this with us. No. If we can keep your flight, in my head, I'm like, I don't want to mess with trying to change flights. If I can get them to the airport, I'm going to get them to the airport. The thing that happened immediately, and I'm so sorry, this is so patchy. You're good. Part of the issue that day too was, okay, here we have three vehicles, and what we were starting to hear was, okay, well, side note, Maui, the west side of Maui is accessible by one road.
Yeah.
And the primary way into the west side is kind of from the south around by Ma'alaya and to come around that way where it's clearly a two-lane highway, right?
Yeah.
The only other way off the west side is to go around the top side by Kahakaloa, which a good portion of that road is single lane. And when you drive that road, if you come nose to nose with another vehicle, somebody's backing up. And so, and it's long. It's long. So we have three vehicles, one with a full tank of gas, two with a quarter tank. One does not try to go around the top side with a quarter tank of gas.
No.
That's not, you, you minimum half a tank of gas.
Right.
And so
no gas stations were
no gas stations are open. So we're trying to figure out, do we siphon gas? Do we like, how do we get, if we're going to leave, we're going to try to take at least two vehicles with us. So much of Wednesday was spent trying to figure out how are we going to do this? Because we did finally hear at one point that they had opened that road going north one way only. And so, because when anything happens with either road, they'll shut both roads because it's mass chaos when you've got people going both directions out the north side. So they opened that road and allowed for kind of a mass evacuation of whoever wanted to go the north way. Well, we didn't want to sit in traffic, especially if we only had a quarter tank of gas. So we're trying to figure out like best choices with the little information that we had. And we heard at one point, because again, on that road, on that lower road at Ryan's house where we were at, where we were hanging out that day, everybody that would go by, there was an element of talk story. How are you? What's your story? Still in shock, all the things. And so somebody had said, one of our friends was driving by and she was like, I'm trying to get this person to one of the resorts in Kanapali because there are supposedly shuttles that are evacuating visitors from the resorts and it's a one, it's a straight shot to the airport. So they were trying to do shuttles. So we were like, okay, well, what if we tried to get the girls on one of those shuttles? So we went and tried to, we said, load up, what you got? Let's go see if we can make this happen. And it was so sweet. The gal, we went to one of the resorts and the gal that we talked to who worked at the resort, we were trying to ask questions and we were already, everybody's in shock, but we're trying to remember to be gentle, right? Because everybody's kind of amped, but we're trying to remember gentleness. And I said, can you tell me what you know about the shuttle? And I will never forget this piece. She goes, well, in theory, a shuttle will arrive at 7:45 and in theory, it will leave at 8. I was like, okay. And in theory, is there like a line? Like, is there a seat? How does that work? And she goes, first come, first serve. And it will probably be down there on the street. Excuse me. So we, and then we said, hey, we tried to remember to ask her, are you from Lahaina? Yes. Did you lose your house? Probably. I'm pretty sure. And so just remembering that all of the employees at these resorts, there's a good chance they're from Lahaina as well. So we go down and we sit down on the street to wait with these girls. And it's, I think it was seven, maybe we started sitting there at like 7:35, 7:40. And it's at 8:05 and there's now a line of visitors. And honestly, Monica, it was so hard for me to sit there and just hear bits and pieces of conversations from visitors. And it was just kind of starting to just get to me.
Yeah. What kind of things were you hearing?
I can't even remember, and it's not worth, it's not worth saying even if I did, but it just is a perspective of mainland visitors with not a lot of concept of the gravity of what is happening.
Yes, sure.
And how could they really, right? Right. They're there. There's been no power for 2 days. They just want to go home. They each have their own story. But for me to sit there and be in the midst of them, knowing what has just happened, I turned to my husband and I said, I can't do this. I cannot wait for something that's in theory. Let's figure out how to get these girls to the airport ourselves. And I said, girls, I need you to load up. We're going to go figure something else out.
Wow.
And we just had to drive away because I couldn't. So we went and stopped at another friend's house and somebody said, hey, the road through Lahaina is open. Like they're letting people exit that way, which for us was immediately, hey, we can do that. We can do that exit with a quarter tank of gas. Let's go. So we went back to the house, loaded up two cars, strategically parked our third car so that it would be out of the way, out of sight on our friend's property. And we loaded up both those cars and headed out to Kahului, where we knew that we had a place to land with a friend.
Okay, good.
So we got to Kahului probably Wednesday night, maybe 10, and got some food and gave our friends hugs and then just said, hey, like we just need to crash, take showers and crash. And then Andy and I got up early Thursday morning and woke up the girls and delivered them to the airport. And the airport was just weird. Such a strange vibe driving through the airport. And I think where I would, and then we went from there, we stayed, see, that was Thursday. So we stayed around there at that house that we landed at. And then a friend's house, friends who have an Airbnb in Kihei, their current visitors were checking out Friday. And so, and then it was being cleaned and we came and stayed here where we are now. And we've been since then, which was so strange. We're in an Airbnb in Kihei that we've been to this home before, but it was the strangest feeling of extravagance. And it's not an extravagant home, but it's a home that has, you know, ready beds and this big bathrooms, you know, and everybody has their own bed and all the things, and it's comfortable. And it just felt extravagant. And that was just weird thing. So that was kind of those handful of days. I think looking back, it did not take long to be so thankful that we had those additional girls with us, because it absolutely forced us to remove ourselves from the West Side sooner than later. And as time went on, that's a different story, because the rest of West Side, and rightly so, went into crisis management mode. That has with it a steady, heightened tension of survival, and people helping, and it's all good. But when you're you are in that tension and in that mode of help, and don't have an opportunity to step away, then that brings with it kind of a whole new range of issues, for lack of a better way to say that, because there's no rest in it, right?
I was going to say, how long can you do that?
How long can you do that, right? And so, but with it, here we are now in Kihei, and the flip side of that is this, almost this sense of guilt of we left.
Yeah.
Right. So there's no easy answer. There's no right or wrong. There's none of that. There's survival. And how do you survive? And where, I don't even know, but I do know that I'm very thankful that we had an opportunity to step away, because for us now, here we are, what, 2+ weeks later, or is it 3 weeks today? 3 weeks yesterday. Mm. Today's, yeah, I think it was 3 weeks yesterday. There's, it was very clear a handful of days past it that, oh, this is big. Mm. And this is not going to be a quick thing. Like this right. is now the marathon of all marathons.
That's, I was going to say, and you're going to be needed and relied upon. And if you're not healthy, then you're right? not going to be able to be used. At what point in those first few days did you know for certain that you lost your home?
Wednesday, because Wednesday afternoon, friends found us and showed us the video. I think actually I had walked, there was another family that had all solar and generators, and they immediately, that was like a, I don't know, 5-10 minute walk from the house mm-hmm. that we were staying at. Mm-hmm. And they immediately opened their home as this hub because they had generators and solar and Wi-Fi and all the things. Awesome. And so they just kind of threw open their doors and said, come. Nice. And when she started to get, she shared this story with me, with a group of us. And she was like a little bit hesitant at first because people were looking for ways to communicate. And so people would ask for the Wi-Fi password. And all it took was once for her saying the Wi-Fi password for her to understand how the Lord was going to use her home, because mm-hmm. her Wi-Fi password included the phrase King of Kings.
No.
And she was like, okay, Lord, I get it.
Love it. Oh, that is so cool.
Just pieces of it to where she's like, yeah. All right. And so while I was up there trying to communicate and charge phones, and I had the girls up there with me for a little bit so they could talk to their parents, that was when other friends had gone by the house where the rest of my family was and shown them the video of our house. Mm-hmm.
Friends, I hope you're enjoying this episode. I want to pause here real quick to make sure you know about an online math curriculum that I have been learning all about. CTC Math is an amazing homeschool curriculum, but also useful for extra math practice, kind of like a tutor at home if your kids go to school. Now, I learned about CTC Math through Dorenda Wilson, who we all know is the expert homeschool mom to 8, and I've been checking it out, and I'm so impressed with their video tutorials and summaries, which are clear, complete, and so easy to follow. A whole lot of families who have tried other math curriculums are delighted with how simple and straightforward CTC Math is. The other cool thing is they offer a 12-month money-back guarantee, no questions asked. So that is good reason in itself to check it out. They have been just winning over a lot of families to this math curriculum. So go over to ctcmath.com, check it out, start your free trial. Let me know what you think once you check it out. I think you're going to love it. ctcmath.com. And now we'll get back to the show. Hey friends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift you might get your mom? I know every year I try to think of something unique, and I'm so excited to get to tell you about a really good idea. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your mom a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com will compile all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook if you prefer, using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her away to share them. Now, recently I was able to order MyLifeInABook.com for my mom, and I cannot wait to hear all of her stories. She has such great stories. I can't wait to see them all in a book form. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code Monica at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. Again, that's mylifeinabook.com and use code Monica for 10% off today. You all, I mean, that's such a big part of your family's life and memories. And how did you handle that?
I think Kai honestly said it best, because we're always talking about how stuff is just stuff. Mm-hmm. Relationships are what's mm-hmm. important. Yeah. And I think Kai was probably the first one to say it out loud, you know, quickly after. Mm-hmm. And we all know it.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
Josiah was here visiting at that point, and he had told us right away and things, you know, Kai had reached out to their Bible study group and said, you know, please pray for Maui fires and all that. But then after Kai knew you had lost your home, Josiah had checked in with him, and all Kai wrote back was something like, we're all safe, everything's fine. And he didn't mention that you had lost your home. And Josiah's like, that sounds like Kai. He wouldn't mention it. All he focused on was the people. And so later when Josiah's like, dude, you lost your house, he's like, it's just a house, you know.
It is. It's just a house.
So well done, Mom. Wow.
Hard part of that, because that's true. And mm-hmm. and no one in my family will dispute that. Mm-hmm. The hard part is that Kiana and I are very much creatives and makers. Yeah. Yes. And I had another friend, and I've had several friends just say, oh, Jess, your home mm-hmm. was just full of curated things yes. that have been collected mm-hmm. over decades and yeah. family treasures and yeah. all yeah. the things. And yeah. collectively as a family, we would be in conversations or doing one thing or another, and somebody would remember some piece mm-hmm. in particular. Yeah. And wherever we're at, we would say it. And then all of us would throw our hands up and go, oh, man. And then yeah. we would kind of talk about it and remember it and grieve a little bit and move on. Because,
yeah,
it is stuff. Oh. And it's full of memories, but it is just mm-hmm. stuff. And so I'm not going to lie. There are some things that I'm like, oh, that one hurt just a little
bit. A little punch to the gut.
Because Kiana is my artist, and she over the years has drawn family portraits. One that is just a scribble on a little journal. And I know it, you could kind of tell the ages of it because of just the height of each of the children that she would make in it. And then another one where she was in a season of anime. And so she drew each member of the family as basically like a kind of almost like an anime character of sorts. And I had that one hanging in the, you know, hanging in our living room. And so there are overall. Yeah. It's a lot of loss in that regard, but on the other side, the simplicity is we are safe. We are together. And all of that is stuff that we can do it again and different. And Kiana's the first one that would say, hello, artist is still here. Can do another one.
I love that. So that's beautiful. And again, well done, Mom and Dad, in raising kids to have such a mature perspective. But as we're recording, I haven't heard recently, but the last time I heard, they didn't even have a final count of how many people didn't survive. Do you still know people that you haven't located, or you're not sure? Where are you at with all that?
This for me is kind of
the... You have to know people who were lost, right?
We do. This is kind of the touchy... This is where, for me, the whole conversation can get a bit touchy, because in our personal experience, what... and it has happened within our family between us and the mainland. In conversation, someone will say, this is what I saw on the news. And there are times where what the news is portraying is, from our perspective, simply not what the reality is here in person.
Sure.
And And that has happened enough to where even I am very, very careful to filter what I am seeing on any platform.
Yeah.
Because it's all so vague in some regards. There are, I do know people that have lost family members. Everyone has some pretty, there's some pretty crazy stories. And we do know people that were lost. We know a little bit of all of it because we've got 17 years of investing in people. And so that has a pretty broad reach. But what we learned right from the get-go was that we just wanted to have conversations with each person that the Lord placed in front of us in each moment and find out their story and see how they were doing and kind of go from that point. Is there a loss? Is it immediate family? Is it extended family? Because some of these extended families, you've got generations of families that are here that are broad. So when people are talking about families and extended families, there are some families that we know that when they calculate the total number of family members kind of extended, we're talking like it's not uncommon for it to be 60, 70, you know, like it's just, they're big families. And so there's going to be loss. Like it's just huge. There's no, every story is so different. And it's not, regardless of if someone lost a house, lost a business, lost family members, lost jobs, everyone is affected. We know several people that their homes are standing, but they're inaccessible and they have lost their jobs. And so it is this, no one on this island is unaffected by what is happening right now.
Right, right.
So it's, there's, I don't even know. And I repeatedly, I'm like, I really should spend the time to sit down and see what like the number is out there on the published number, whatever it is. But they, it's just for me of if I, wherever I'm going to spend time, I'm going to spend time with the people that the Lord places in front of me rather than spending time trying to figure it all out. That there's people that is their role and that is what they are doing. And it is not mine.
Right. Okay. So speaking of what, before we recorded, you mentioned club tonight. So what is next? What are you focusing on? What's the ministry look like for the near future?
It's big
day by day.
It is very clear. I would say this, ministry and how we do ministry and how we walk it out every day. None of that has changed. It's all about Jesus,
and relationships
How that is looking right now is that what has happened on the West Side has displaced kids and we have kids scattered all over the island. Because there's no set solid plan for the kids on the West Side going back to school. What was said right at the beginning was then changed. And, Lahaina Luna High School is the oldest high school west of the Rockies. I think it was, I want to say started in 1831. I think 1831.
That's crazy.
So the tradition and the depth of relationship that this is integral to West Side. Like this is big. So there are several families that are just not going to throw in the towel and go somewhere else. Those schools are still standing. Like, the whole upper side of Lahaina Luna Road, there are three schools up there. And so there is some sort, apparently, some sort of plan that is in place to get those schools open as quickly as they can. But there's no clear-cut communication or no clear-cut plan because there are so many entities involved. So there are a whole bunch of kids on the West Side that are not in school yet because they're not going to just give up on going to Lahaina Luna. But we do know kids that are enrolled in all of the other schools here in Central and Upcountry and all the things. And so for us, ministry looks like we actually have been, the Lord has just very graciously provided a landing spot for us in Haiku, which is not where I thought we would be. We were very clearly praying. That's
for people who don't know.
It's that, in like, Timbuktu. Country,
North Shore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's way out of the way. Right. It's right. It is. We were praying specifically. It is. It totally is. Mm-hmm. We were praying specifically to be located in Central Maui, which would be like kind of near where the airport is, because it would allow us to get everywhere easily. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of had what we were praying for, but what we have learned is that we hold all of our plans loosely because he has his plan. And so I was not rushing to find a place. I felt this insane peace of just waiting for what the Lord would provide. And from the get-go, Kai had a friend who said, I want you to come look at this house that we have in Haiku. And I point blank looked at him and said, thank you. No, you live in the boondocks and that is not going to serve us well. And Andy and I ended up going, we attended a funeral of someone that had passed away before the fire, and they had postponed the funeral because there were family members missing in the fire, which then they just had to go away with, they had to go ahead with the funeral. So we went to this funeral and the burial was out at a cemetery that's out past Haiku. And on the way back, we decided that kind of, we got to this place of, okay, if the Lord is potentially offering all these other places, we need to be good stewards and at least look at all of these places that are being offered. Right. And at that point, there were two, and we drove by one, and Andy was like, And I was like, no. And so we kept driving, and we went and looked at this one in Haiku, and we drove onto this property in Haiku and immediately felt that it was a place of rest. And we have been, Andy and I have been doing mission for a long time, and the truth is that we are weary. And we have not been able to, for a variety of reasons, figure out sabbatical for the last 5 years. It has been a conversation for 5 years on how to do a sabbatical. And I really think that the Lord said, clearly you are too dumb to figure out sabbatical on your own. And therefore, I am going to provide you a place of rest that you can then do this marathon ahead of you from. Wow. So yes, it is out of the way, but it checks every single box in terms of just a home, a place that we can just do life and mission the way that we've done it for so long, but we can also just rest. And Monica, it's green. Did you know that there are still places that are green? Lahaina, not always green. So it's just, it is, so we're, it's still in transition. We're still currently in Kihei, but moving towards that. And then club, Young Life Club is kind of the, where we gather kids and just kind of just basically introduce Jesus every week during the school year. Right. And one of the kids that we took to Young Life Camp this summer, we asked him if he would be willing and interested to have club at his house. And they live on the west side in Kahana. And he asked his mom, and his mom said, absolutely yes. And rather than pausing and coming back to us and saying, hey, my mom said yes, when should we do this? What he chose to do was send it out to all of his friends and say, hey, club is at my house. And we went, oh, okay, well, I guess we're starting club. So we, Andy has already left to go pick up kids from Central Maui and boys that are from Lahaina, but are now currently going to school in Central. And we're all kind of loading up and heading over to have Young Life Club at Preston's house tonight. And I honestly don't know who's going to show up. And it could be one, it could be 10, it could be more. I don't know. But we're just in it for whatever adventure the Lord has for us tonight.
Right. Oh, so good. I can't wait to hear how that goes. And just love that you're showing up and you're willing. And wow, I'm still wrapping my brain around the whole story. And I'm sure that you're all still in a little bit of shock and just, you know, there's a lot of trauma there that will take the kids and all of you, everyone in the community, a long time, probably never, you know, never be over it, but the process. So, well, before we close, two things I'd love for you to tell us. One is, already I hear your heart. So I see God working in your life and through your ministry. But is there any other ways you've just seen God working? Any stories, anything that would just be an encouragement for those who just feel like this sounds so dark and sad and terrible?
I think the gift of seeing how our community has come together is just amazing. One thing about this culture, and I know that you've seen it too, the Hawaiian culture is just that we take care of our own and they take care of, like, we just, the community just can rally in ways that just is just awe-inspiring. And so that is such a gift to see. We cannot go anywhere on this island right now without stopping and talking to people. Everything that I do takes four times as long because the community as a whole is checking in with each other. And just, just that gift of stopping and talking to people and giving them hugs and saying, how are you doing in this moment? And encouraging people to, I think, Andy, whenever we see people, it's asking the questions, are you safe? What do you need? What have you heard? What do you know? And what are you hearing? Just really trying to check in with people and and seeing where they're at and how we can help them. And then we have just that, I think in terms of the giving, there has been challenges and good in terms of all of the support that seems to be coming from so many different directions. But the hard part is that we are a very small island. And so when all of this stuff is coming, when it's not specifically asked for or needed things, that kind of is hard. And honestly, for me, it's overwhelming walking into any one of those centers. And, and when Kiana and I went in and we're just trying to go through clothes because people have given bags and bags and bags of clothes. But there's a difference between going through your closet and having this mentality of, I want to share while you're cleaning out your own stuff versus, because then it's like a bunch of stuff that I then have to filter through as opposed to having just kind of this strategically sorted, fresh, maybe gently used, clean or brand new stuff that is just easy sorted that I can go, okay, this is works. It's just, it's so overwhelming. And I didn't know what I needed in the moment. And it's, I can't handle all of this stuff. And that's, I think kind of, there's this collective mentality with that is, I think to be aware of for people is that just like we've talked about, this is not a short-term thing. People are still displaced and in hotel rooms and they're not in a place of, I can say I need A, B, C, D, and E. They're just still surviving. So the sharing of resources for people to understand that that's even that is a long-term thing. There's going to be these waves of need. There's no quick fix to this. There's and that's a kind of its own thing. There's right now this, there's kind of this, there's a cultural kind of brewing right now that's hard because nobody has clear direction on what's going to happen with our home, with Lahaina as a whole. And so there's this underlying tension with all of that stuff that just kind of is, because it's so messy and yucky, that's its own thing. So there's this, what has happened is has affected the entire economy of the island. And it just is, so there's no easy fix. So that's why for us, what do you need right now in the moment? And so when people are sharing funds with us, it has allowed us to, as Andy has conversations, we are immediately sharing funds with the people that are in front of us. And we have lots of people that are doing that. So when somebody says, hey, how can I share with you? What do you need? How can I send you? Do you need money? What do you need? One of the easiest things for us to share is just when people do send funds, there are lots of people that are uncomfortable with sharing their needs, or they don't maybe have the resources that we have in terms of relationship. And so it has allowed us
ways to communicate their needs.
So it has allowed Andy, when he's sitting with someone and spending time with them and asking the story and asking the needs, he literally is just sharing funds with them. He's like, what's your Venmo? I'm going to Venmo you this right now. What do you need? What can I get for you? And so we've just been so blessed to be able to do that, because everybody's different. Every single story is different. There are foundational similarities, but every single person's story is different.
Well, with that, then, for those listening that have been trying to figure out the best way, you know, I've shared on my Instagram feed a few of the places that I trust to share support with, some, you know, people who are doing good things. In show notes, I will put some links, and maybe you can suggest even here where could you send people if they wanted to offer support for Maui, Lahaina, or even like you just shared with your family, who can then share that with others. Can you offer some ways people can find you
here? There are a couple different ways. One of the things that, and I was honestly fascinated that Andy and I had a conversation with someone in Paia when he and I went out for dinner one night, and it was someone that had driven over to the West Side a bunch of times delivering farm produce and whatnot. But when we were talking, he wasn't even aware of kind of some things that were out there in terms of families. There is on Instagram, and I can share it with you, there is a group that put together, basically it's kind of one hub of, it's an Instagram page with Lahaina families and their personal family Venmos. And so I think I can find out the specific, but there is a group in Lahaina that basically is filtering whoever created the page.
Awesome.
They are filtering all of the families so that, and maybe just, you know, a short story as to who they are, but their specific criteria. And that way, you know, the finances are going directly to those families. So that's one way. And then, I know that Samaritan's Purse is on island and ready to be available to go through, assuming we are given permission, because we still have not been given permission to go onto our property, to go through, you know, the ashes of our home to find stuff, which side note, I'm itching to get onto my property because I have any treasure that I can find, I can make something beautiful out of. So just let me on there. I will dig and I will find something that I can make from whatever is found. So Samaritan's Purse, I know, is here in force and is ready and is actively communicating with all of those different entities. And they are ready to be available to go on properties with families to go through their ashes. Because again, we're talking about family properties that are generations of families have been in these homes. Yeah. So we so want the permission for these families to be able to go on and to do it safely. And I know that Samaritan's Purse, we've talked to them repeatedly. They're here and they're ready. So that is an easy one.
Awesome.
I'm sure there's others, but those are the ones that are the easiest, that are the easiest. And Young Life also has, you know, there's people, cause there's people that need the tax write-off and that is totally fine. Young Life has a disaster relief account as well for Maui. And if people don't need the tax write-off, honestly, the best gift that you can give is just finding a family to give to that family directly.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll link to your family. You have both a GoFundMe and a Venmo. Is that correct, Seth?
I have all the things. Apparently, there's a variety of ways of all the
sister,
things.
Yes. Your sister is giving updates. God bless her. Yeah. She's been great.
My sister has been such a gift because I can rant and rave and process, and she has this gift of listening to me ramble, and she puts it into words.
Sorting through it all.
Yeah. And it has been the greatest gift. So, yep.
Yeah. She does a great job, but I also just love hearing your stories. And I'm sure all of us listening could sit and listen to many, many more. But man, thank you for just being willing in such a raw, still fresh moment to walk us through your experience and to hear you laugh and your perspective and your faith, just so, so beautiful. So thank you, Jess, for just being an example to all of us. What an inspiration.
Thank you for just the opportunity to share. So thank you, Monica.
We're all going to keep praying for sure. And I'll link, of course, to your family Instagram, I guess it is, where people can kind of keep up if you're posting.
Absolutely.
There.
For now, it's my sister's words, but yes, that is where it is as well.
Awesome. Well, can't thank you enough, and we will stay in touch and I'll give updates as the city and the island rebuild, but appreciate your time today.
You bet. God bless.
All right, friends. Thank you for hanging in there through a little longer conversation than usual, but I hope that you enjoyed all of that. And again, everything that Jess mentioned will be linked to over in show notes, which today you can find at monicaswanson.com/Maui Fire. That's just all together, Maui, FIRE. All right. So thank you again. And I have some really great interviews coming up next week. Such a special one. It's going to be an invite your kids episode. So I can't wait to share this one with you. And then so many other good things coming up all throughout the fall and winter. I can't believe I've already got my calendar put together through the end of the year and into the new year. So can't wait to share everything with you. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.